Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, May the 8th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 Live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, opposition MDCT spokesman says his party is happy with an acknowledgement it has received from the United Nations Secretary General regarding the fair distribution of food aid in Zimbabwe.
We are very pleased to note that the United Nations actually promptly replied on the 15th of April, Mr. Edmund Mallet, the personal assistant to Mr. Ban Ki-moon, wrote a letter to Dr. Tsvangirai on behalf of the Secretary General. And in that letter, Mr. Mallet actually says the UN Secretary General has taken note of the concerns that have been raised by President Tsvangirai.
Labour and Social Welfare Minister issues a strong warning for women and girls to be diligent when offered jobs in foreign lands to avoid human trafficking.
I'm Prisca Mpumira, the Minister of Public Service, Labour and Social Welfare. A word of advice to young ladies looking for work in countries which they are not familiar with, to be very careful, because we've had very serious incidents of young girls who had gone to work in Kuwait and they came back reporting very serious abuse.
We hear from some of our listeners on their views on Mother's Day.
My name is Dakwasi Prosta. I am in Mtare. I just want to say to my mom, my mother is the most beautiful woman I have ever saw. I just want to say happy Mother's Day.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. Opposition MDCT spokesman Obert Gutu says his party is happy with an acknowledgement it has received from United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon regarding the fair distribution of food aid in the country. This follows a letter written by party president Morgan Tsvangirai in which he had complained that the ruling party was using a political card to distribute food to only ZANU-PF members. In recent weeks to the UN boss, Jonga Kandemiri speaks to MDCT spokesman Obert Gutu on the issue.
It is correct that President Tsvangirai, president of the MDC, on the 17th of February this year, he wrote a letter to His Excellency Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General of the United Nations. Basically, the main thrust of the letter was to alert the office of the United Nations Secretary General of the politicization of food aid in Zimbabwe and also calling for help for the people of Zimbabwe, particularly in matters to do with food aid. President Tsvangirai was just alerting His Excellency Ban Ki-moon that millions of Zimbabweans were facing starvation and that the UN had to take note of the impending disaster. We are very pleased to note that the United Nations, a very big organization as you know it is, actually promptly replied on the 15th of April, Mr. Edmund Mallet, who is the chef of the cabinet, or what I might actually call the personal assistant to Mr. Ban Ki-moon, wrote a letter to Dr. Tsvangirai on behalf of the Secretary General. And in that letter, Mr. Mallet actually says the UN Secretary General has taken note of the concerns that have been raised by President Tsvangirai. And we are also pleased to note that Mr. Ban Ki-moon in his letter actually emphasized that the United Nations system, its humanitarian response in Zimbabwe, as it does elsewhere in this world, is always guided by the four humanitarian principles of humanity, neutrality, impartiality, and independence. And we're also pleased that His Excellency Ban Ki-moon also said that the United Nations is working closely with the government of Zimbabwe and its designated institutions to provide humanitarian assistance to all vulnerable people with the greatest needs, regardless of their political or other affiliations and beliefs. and with full transparency and accountability. So this is coming from the office of Mr. Ban Ki-moon. And we believe that with this kind of pressure, the ZANU-PF regime, stubborn as it is, would simply have no other option but to comply.
But Mr. Gutu, the government has been receiving many threats or advices from different quarters, but it never showed signs of taking heed of all these advices. Would you see it changing this time?
Look, we all know that ZANU-PF is a very stubborn creature. We have been dealing with these people ever since the MDC was formed. But that doesn't dissuade us from applying the pressure. We are here on the ground, and we are saying that there are various other avenues that we can explore if the ZANU-PF regime continues to deny our supporters, or indeed supporters of other opposition political parties, access to food aid. We can always take legal action. We can actually approach the Constitutional Court and make sure that we get an order to compel the government to actually abide by this resolution. This is a standing resolution of the United Nations to say that all food aid, particularly food aid that is coming from the United Nations and its designated institutions, has to be given to all vulnerable people, that is, all people in need, regardless of their political or any other affiliation for that matter. So, yes, we know that we're dealing with a very difficult regime, a very selfish, a very insensitive regime, but that we know, and we shall not give up. A defeat is not on the agenda.
That was MDCT spokesperson Obet Gutu speaking with Studio 7's John Gaka and Emiri. Efforts to get comment from ZANU-PF on the issue were fruitless as they were not answering their phones. The Labour and Social Welfare Minister has issued a strong warning for women and girls to be diligent when offered jobs in foreign lands to avoid human trafficking. This follows the human trafficking saga of 200 women and girls to Kuwait, which saw the government repatriating 32 of them last week.
I'm Priska Mfumira, the Minister of Public Service, Labour and Social Welfare. A word of advice to young ladies looking for work in countries which they are not familiar with, to be very careful, because we've had very serious incidents of young girls who had gone to work in Kuwait and they came back reporting very serious abuse, and we are investigating to find out exactly what was happening to them. 32 ladies had arrived over the weekend, and we expect many more to come. So the word of advice is for ladies not to venture into countries which they are not familiar with, either the culture, the language, and everything. Just be cautious.
That was Labour and Social Welfare Minister Priska Mupfumira in Harare. The disappearance of activist Itai Dzamara continues to take center stage as he has been missing for over 14 months, and many wonder what has become of him. But his family says they are not losing hope. Jonga Kanzemiri spoke to Bishop Anselimo Magaya of the Itai Dzamara Trust to hear more about the issue.
It could be two things. It could be that the noise has possibly not reached levels where the government so much under unprecedented pressure. It is very, very possible. And regarding that, I really would wish if, people would appreciate the fact that it's not just an issue about Itai Dzamara. It is about the security of persons. And therefore, everybody, whether you are from ZANU-PF, the political party, and churches, let us mount up pressure. Let us increase the volume of our noise. And let's work together. But secondly, I also think that, possibly those that are responsible for the abduction could be in a dilemma as to where they would start from. You know, if they would release him, suppose he's alive, then obviously they would have to account for what was happening. And obviously they know that Itai Dzamara would simply chronicle what has been happening to him. And that would have actually confirmed that they are the ones that abducted him. So I'm sure they're also in it. But I'm sure that if we continue to give more pressure, somehow we will get the solution that we want.
Do you have anything planned to mark these 14 months since his disappearance?
Yes. Tomorrow on Monday, we will again be in the in our usual place, African Union Square, to pray, to again declare the mind of God against injustice to perpetrators of violence and those that force people into disappearances. We'll give a very strong statement. So we really are going to be meeting during lunch hour on Monday to make sure that this program takes place.
What else can you tell Zimbabweans to do in order to maybe ratchet up the call for Itai Dzamara's safe return?
I think the first thing is that we need to have the right mindset. I got a feeling that we have a people that are very, very myopic, short-sighted. People that think that unless it happens next door to me, then it is not a crisis and it's not a call for me to act. Unless it happens to the member of my church, unless it happens to the member of my political party or civil society. And we are saying evil should be evil, despite who suffers from it, despite who the victim is. The Bible says in the book of Job, Job took up the case and the cause of the stranger. So it is within our God-given responsibility to take up the case, even of those people that we are not related to. So this is the first thing that I would really want to encourage the people of Zimbabwe to consider, really a shift in their mindset. But secondly, to encourage our church leaders to really be more conscious of their mandate, particularly the bigger mother bodies like your Zimbabwe Heads of Christian Denomination.
That was Bishop Anselmo Magaya of the Itai Dzamara Trust speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. This past Friday, I had a chance to join some young Zimbabweans living here in Washington, D.C. as they crossed the stage at Howard University, completing their degrees. The two, Admonish Deda and Tapiwa Musonza, spoke to me after their graduation, giving their reflections on the day. I started off speaking to Admonish.
My name is Admonish Deda. I just graduated out of Howard University with a Bachelor's of Information Systems. I'm excited. I'm thrilled for the next phase of my life. Howard gave me so much. I never thought I'd get to this point, but it's been 4 years of hard work, 4 years of motivation, 4 years of pain, sweat, everything, and I feel that this is the moment that God has given me to achieve something big in my life and get ready for the next chapter of my life.
And you're draped with the Zimbabwean flag.
I am patriotic, future president, so I carry the Zim flag everywhere I go. And I know there's also a This Flag campaign that's going on right now online. So this is me representing Zimbabwe. I love Zimbabwe. We brought a Zimbabwean flag. We haven't started celebrating yet, but everywhere we go, we're going to represent Zimbabwe.
Tomorrow, Barack Obama will be speaking. What's your reaction and expectation?
I think the first feeling was, it was like surreal. Like we didn't believe that the president of the U.S. in his final year of the presidency will choose Howard University as one of the three schools that is only doing a commencement speech at. The significance of that being the best HBCU in the country. Shout out to Howard University, is that it means it's a big challenge for all of us. You know, he's literally opened the door for us that anything you want to achieve in your life is possible. So as a black president, the first black president coming to campus, it's a really big motivation for us to go out there in the world and be great. There's really nothing, there's no door that we cannot walk through. He set the perfect example for us as black students, minority students, and I feel that as an African, I'm taking that experience back with me to Africa. Whatever I'm going to do economically or politically, I know that there is no obstacle, there is no hurdle I cannot pass because the president himself, Barack Obama, came to my graduation and he kept me and he's literally opened the door for me.
Mm-hmm. And what do you want to take back with you?
what do I want to take back with me from this experience?
Yes.
That for every Zimbabwean child out there who wants to make it in life, they have a dream, and to go for it, never give up until we get where we want to get to.
And your shout-outs?
I want to shout-out to everybody who came from Zimbabwe. I want to shout-out to Finn. I want to shout-out to my family here in D.C. Mike, my brother Clive, who just came from Cali. And Tapiwa, the biggest motivation that I've had in our Tapiwa songs that we just graduated together.
Now I speak to Tapiwa Musonza on his experience at Howard University.
Hi everyone, my name is Tapiwa Musonza. Just graduated from Howard University with a bachelor's in finance. It's been a great honor to serve as this great institution that has birthed some of the greatest leaders in the history of Black Americans and Africans in general. And I hope to use the information and the degree that I've got into better Africa and Zimbabwe, my home nation. And everything that I do is to progress our cause and to betterment of Zimbabwe. And I hope to go back and utilize my degree back home.
Talk about the last 4 years. How has that experience been for you?
It's been pretty, pretty challenging, coming from Zimbabwe, from Black Phobie, before that's where I was educated. And it was a tough experience transitioning culturally and just in terms of just the pace of the education system here. But we as Zimbabweans, we weather through anything. We can adapt to any environment. So for me, it was, once I just got that rhythm, it was a walk in the park. Mm-hmm. But, it's a great experience.
And next, of course, is your professional career. But what do you plan on taking back with you to Zimbabwe?
I want to merge my cultural background and my finance background so that we can provide adequate financing to Zimbabwe so that it can be the breadbasket of Africa again.
And your shout-outs?
Shout-out to my family. Shout-out to everyone. Shout-out to God. It wouldn't have happened without him. Just shout-out to Howard University, too, because giving me this opportunity to be part of a rich legacy.
Thanks again, and congratulations to Admonish Deda and Tapiwa Musonza for joining me on the Youth Forum at their graduation at Howard University. This is Tatenda Gumbo, hoping you have a wonderful week, and you'll join me next time.
Thank you, Tatenda. And now we hear from some of our listeners on their views on Mother's Day.
My name is Dakwasi Kosta. I'm in Mtare. I just want to say to my mom, my mother is the most beautiful woman I have ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the memorial, intellectual and physical education I received from her. I just want to say happy Mother's Day.
Where is your mother?
Irene Daisy Chusa. She is in Shibuya now.
How big is your family?
Our family is not much big. We are 5 in our family.
And yourself, you are which number?
I am number 3.
So why do you think mothers are so important?
She do everything for me, and without mother, it feels like you are nothing. She do everything, maybe in the absence of my father, to represent the father as well.
My name is Alfred Maposa. I'm going to happy Mother's Day.
Those were some of our listeners expressing their views on Mother's Day, which was celebrated today. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, May 8th, 2016. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, a happy Mother's Day to all our mothers out there, as well as a great week ahead.